Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Probably don't realize it, folks, but that song, which obviously, for those of you who don't know, maybe there are people listening who don't know, is the national anthem of the United States. It's the Star Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Key. And that song is barely over a minute long. And yet, it's such an important song. It's important because it represents a country that is very important to the world, I think. And I want to talk about how we began, and I'm going to blend in what I'm going to say. I'm going to blend in what all this means to you and me as a small business owner. He was the first of many members of the family Plantagenet to be king of England. Henry II claimed the throne of England after his cousin Stephen died in 1154. Why is this important to contemporary small business owners like you and me? Well, Henry II is considered to be the founder of a legal system to which entrepreneurs owe our freedom to be. And the world is a better place as a result of entrepreneurs having such freedom. As ambitious as he was intelligent, Henry's reasonably successful attempts to consolidate all of the British Isles under his rule created the need for order. His subsequent governmental and court reforms, intended more for his own political expediency than to empower the people, actually resulted in the emergence of a body of law which replaced elements of the feudal system that included such enlightened judicial practices as trial by ordeal. The evolution of this body of law, which became known as the English Common Law, includes the Magna Carta, 1215, the Bail Act, 1444, the Petition of Rights, 1628, the Habeas Corpus Act of 1679, and the English Bill of Rights, 1689, plus many other instruments and declarations which strengthen the rights of individuals and the ownership and enjoyment of property. Over five centuries after the death of Henry II, the legal and cultural tide of personal freedoms and protection of private property for ordinary people caused England's youngest Prime Minister, William Pitt, to summarize the concept of individual rights and property under English common law this way. The poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail. Its roof may shake. The wind may blow through it. The storms may enter. The rain may enter. But the King of England cannot enter. All of his forces dare not cross the threshold of the ruined tenement. End quote. By the time Pitt spoke these words in the 18th century, to have been able to say this with impunity in England, let alone actually enjoy such liberty, demonstrated how far the invisible hand of Henry II's reforms had progressed. But across the Atlantic, in the colonies, there was a word in Pitt's quote that kept sticking in the craws of a certain group of malcontents, and one that was missing. The word they choked on, king. The missing word, freedom. In The Fortune of the Republic, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "We began with freedom. America was opened up after the feudal mischief was spent. No Inquisition here, no kings, no noblemen, no dominant church. And just the kind of world those malcontents, America's founders, envisioned and set about creating, sans kings." In The Origin of the Bill of Rights, Leonard W. Levy wrote, "Freedom was mainly a product of New World conditions," end quote. These conditions, as Thomas Jefferson so ably and famously wrote in the Declaration of Independence, were liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. These were 18th century words for freedom, and embryonic conditions for which all of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, which we celebrate in America this week, which all those men put their lives and liberty on the line to give birth to. A decade later, America's Bill of Rights, which became the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution, clearly had its origins in a 100-year-old English document with the same name that I mentioned earlier. But the English Bill of Rights was created in a world that perpetuated the divine right of kings. The American document, holding the New World's concepts of personal rights and liberty, wasn't perfected to the founder's satisfaction until it perpetuated rights that were, as John Dickinson had declared a decade earlier, in 1766, born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives, end quote. Take that, you kings. 200 years after Dickinson, philosopher, novelist, and prolific defender of capitalism, Ayn Rand wrote this: "The most profoundly revolutionary achievement of the United States of America was the subordination of society to moral law," end quote. To Rand, moral law is made manifest by individual rights. And even though the seed of the American experiment can be found in English common law, considered the United States to be, quote, "the first moral society in history," end quote. When we come back after these messages, I've got a few more things to say and some important thoughts from the father of our country, George Washington. 20 after. Stay with us. Happy 4th of July, America and the world. We're back. It's 23 after, and I'm talking about how we began with freedom. In 1999, the Kauffman Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership, in concert with other groups, conducted a global study of entrepreneurialism. Their findings revealed that there was a direct link between the rate of new business startups and a country's economic growth. The study also revealed that among the many factors that contribute to entrepreneurialism, perhaps the most critical is, quoting, "a set of social and cultural values, along with appropriate social, economic, and political institutions that legitimize and encourage the pursuit of entrepreneurial opportunity," end quote. In a word, freedom. In countries ranking high in the study's analysis, entrepreneurialism is an integral and acceptable feature of economic and personal life. Of the 10 industrialized nations studied in this report, the United States ranked number one in terms of entrepreneurialism. The coordinator of the study, Paul Reynolds, said, quoting, "concise evidence that promoting entrepreneurialism and embracing the entrepreneurial dynamic of a country should be an integral element of any government's commitment to boosting economic well-being." In a word, freedom. By the way, that was my word. Entrepreneurs, by definition, take risks. Without the freedom to own and enjoy the fruits of such risks, why take them? Thank you, Henry II. And thank you, founders, because without your vision, courage, passion, and sacrifice, plus all of those who rallied to your cry to give birth to the new world definition of freedom, it's doubtful that entrepreneurialism as we know it would exist today. Folks, I believe that. Without those guys, without what they did, without their definition, their new world definition of freedom, I believe that you and I wouldn't be able to have the freedom to be entrepreneurs today. And if capitalism is the economic lever of democracy, entrepreneurialism is the force that renews the strength and reliability of that lever for each new generation. We began with freedom. Freedom to dream and to try. Freedom to succeed and to fail. Freedom to own and to enjoy. Freedom to accumulate and to pass on to the next generation. We began with freedom and entrepreneurialism was born. We began with freedom and capitalism was made to flourish. We began with freedom and the world is better for it. The date was September 19, 1796. In his farewell address to the people, in which he declined to serve a third term as president, and folks, never underestimate how big a statement that was, how important that was. When given an opportunity to do more, George Washington chose to do less, which was a very important step for him. Maybe, perhaps, one of the most important things that he ever did for America was to say, nope, two is enough. And as you know, that set the tone for presidents for way over 100 years, until it finally became law, as we know. I think it's the 22nd Amendment. But anyway, George Washington gave us a name, a distinction, and a bond. Here's his comment in his farewell address. The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism. You have, in a common cause, fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, sufferings, and successes. He gave us a name, a distinction, and a bond. That sounds like us, doesn't it, small business owners? I believe small business owners are like America's founders. We fight for our independence every day. Our common cause is self-determination. And our joint councils are the relationships and the communities that we build every day and that we nurture and grow every day. The dangers we face are not usually as life-threatening as those of the American revolutionaries. But other than our lives, we put everything else on the line, don't we? Washington said the name American should exalt the pride of patriotism. For American entrepreneurs, that name exalts the pride, the spirit of pride, independence, and excellence. In America this week, we celebrate our independence. If you're an entrepreneur, wherever you are, you celebrate independence every day of the year. And I know that President George Washington would be very proud of you. Happy Independence Day, America. It's a day that makes me proud to be an American. It's a day that makes me proud to be an entrepreneur, because I know that I have the freedom to be who I am. Because on this day, 227, I think, years ago, 56 men got together and collectively stuck their finger in the eye of George, of King George of England, and said, you know what, King, we hereby today declare our independence. God bless America. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Bert Folsom. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
In
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.